Good day, this is Roger Molina with Creative Disturbance, and I'm delighted today to be talking with three PhD students in Portugal, Patricia Correa, Ana Rita Fonseca, and Samuel Mailer. What we'd like to discuss today is the nature of the PhD in art and design. We're beginning to see many new PhD programs internationally, both in humanities and within the science, where the art and science collaborations are part of the PhD training. And so maybe we can just begin with each of us of you explaining what you're going to be doing in your own PhD and who is giving you the PhD.
So
so this is Ana Rita.
Yeah, I am Ana Rita, and I'm doing my PhD in the Chantal and Monnier Science Program in Lisbon. And I work at the Systems Neuroscience Lab, and my work is directed towards decision making in the context of multiple options. So basically, my work is to observe, quantify, and measure behavior, animal behavior, in a setup where there are goals and there are different paths, and I try to understand what strategy the animals use to find rewards in these maze.
And what was your undergraduate diploma? What was your major?
So I studied engineering physics, and the project of the final project of the degree was already a little bit into biology, and I got somehow hooked by it and decided to apply for a neuroscience PhD.
And so how is this Roots of Curiosity project fit into your PhD subject?
Well, that's a hard one. I guess it's not really on the subject, but it's more on the process. And what do I mean by this? A project like this brought to me a lot of questioning about my methodology as a scientist and which perspectives do I have about science? What is science? What is a scientific object? What is the scientific method? What is hypothesis-driven research? So asking these questions in order to not only be able to work with people that are doing an art science project, so as a mediator, I have to try to understand what are the scientific aspects in general, independent if it's neuroscience or whatever. I guess it was, for me, it made me think a lot about what is knowledge, what is how can you communicate science? Like basic questions about what is to be a scientist.
Okay, very good. Patricia, maybe you could present yourself and your PhD, who's awarding it, and what the subject is.
Okay, so I'm Patricia Correa, and I'm also, like Rita, a PhD student at the Champal e Monnier Science Program. We actually belong to this doctoral program called INDP, International Neuroscience Doctoral Program, here, and where they basically every year we have about 10 students from different backgrounds, and we are selected to then be part of the program that where we have 1 year with classes, general biology and maths and physics a little bit, but then more focus on neuroscience. So we have speakers from all over the world to come and give us talks on general basic neuroscience questions. And then we can choose a lab. Currently this year, we have to choose a lab here in Portugal, in this current version of the PhD program. And so we have here from the 15 available labs in the Champal e Monnier Neuroscience program, we get to choose one of them and pick the subject for the thesis. In my case, I'm also working in the Systems Neuroscience Lab, which is led by Zach Manen, and I'm working on the role of serotonin in the brain. So I'm trying to understand together with some with a team, we're trying to understand exactly how is serotonin working in the brain. So for that, I'm working with mice, and I'm testing different behaviors, mainly focusing in movement. and trying to understand what's the role of serotonin, how does it play the role of trying to modulate all these different behaviors. And my main background was biochemistry. So I studied biochemistry and I started off doing research, having a first year internship more on molecular biology in general, but then I decided to switch gears to have more systems neuroscience and to look at the brain more like as a whole or more at the circuits level.
So again, for you, how does this Roots of Curiosity project inform your science PhD?
I think I see it as a conceptual, at a more conceptual level. I think it helped me a lot. But I do have to say that it's almost like unfortunately, it's almost like an extra thing to do in the PhD. So by the end, I think it changed me a lot and it helped me like think through my research in a different way. But I feel that it's unfortunate because I don't feel there's a way to combine all of them. So by the end of my thesis, I will have a PhD basically talking about serotonin and all the experiments that I developed. And I somehow, this part that was a super challenging project where I had to face many challenges on how to mediate, how to organize, how to think through what is science and what is art and where do they combine, and like having all these transdisciplinary questions, but put on like in being practical terms organized into a project, somehow I don't think that will be in pragmatical terms. It won't be represented in my thesis. And that's very unfortunate somehow, because I feel it was, in the end, was a very long project that made us think a lot in what's the role of science here. And I do feel that for being in a scientific PhD program, but where we are very highly incentivized to do other type of activities, being, for example, science communication, I feel it's almost like a responsibility of the scientists somehow to have that part and to try to communicate what we do. And I think being part of this, well, it helped a lot for that. But I think it would be nice to think in a way on how to involve that also to be part on a pragmatic level of the thesis too.
Okay, very good. So, Samuel, you come from quite a different background an approach.
Yeah, I undergraduated as a biologist, and I worked in science research for a number of years, so I pretty much decided, I thought I was finished with science, and I went and studied theater for many years and have been working as an actor, and then eventually now I've started a practice-based PhD that's sort of, it's a humanities PhD, but I'm working with the scientists and I do a lot of science in my PhD. So ironically, in some level, my work is at the intersection of art and science, but it's not about that intersection of art and science, if that makes sense. I work with, or I'm interested in, the role of the body in social learning. And so I do that experimentally with experiments just like Anna Reed and Patricia do with animals. But then at the same time, I do that through practice-based, through directing shows. I work a lot with physical theater and masks. And I try to make an intersection between the role of the body in terms of evolution and the information that the body gives to a social, in a social context, and how we use that in theater. And so my PhD has a sort of a multitude of tasks. There's a part that's experimental where I publish scientifically, but then there's also a part where I create artistically. And so for me, the Roots of Curiosity, I mean, compared to Anna-Rita and Patricia, it enters more directly into my PhD. I could almost say that ironically, in some ways, I left science to then have more freedom to do science, but as an artist. Yeah.
Okay, very good. So there's just so much to talk about. One of the things I'll just react to is, as you probably know, we just reissued an ebook with a study that we did for the U.S. National Science Foundation on how to enable collaboration between science and engineering and art and design and humanities. And one of the things that we discovered in doing that work, we were working with about 200 people, is that about 20% of them were in a very real sense hybrids, but hybrids of different kinds. And so, you know, in your case, Samuel, you have a 1 degree in biology, you said, in science, but now you're working in a humanities topic. So in fact, your professional training is really hybrid. And in fact, this is more common than we think. The people have, in fact, during their careers, developed professional activities in both science and engineering and arts and humanities. The other part of it, which Patricia kind of referred to, is the fact that, in fact, many working scientists have other activities that feed into their creative activity. And often these are hidden or marginalized or not integrated in their professional work. And a colleague of mine, Robert Root Bernstein, has been writing about this a lot, how if you look at very successful scientists and engineers, very often they have activities in the arts of some kind which feeds into their creative activity. And, you know, maybe the most famous one is Feynman, the quantum physicist, who also was all his life was heavily involved in music and drumming and all kinds of other activities. And so I think it's more common that we think that professionals have these hybrid roots of curiosity in your expression, right? And on the other hand, our professional organizations don't recognize that. And so I think it's very interesting to see how you're juggling these things. And it's a growing international phenomenon. I don't know if you want to react to that.
I'll just say one thing, that I agree that in some ways society tends to want to pigeonhole us into a one-dimensional space. But I think that even the people that aren't hybrids should have been hybrids or should be hybrids. In some way, putting we're much more than one-dimensional creatures, right? It's obvious.
Although, you know, I think this depends. Sometimes it depends where you are in your own life. And there are times in life when you really want to focus very, very narrowly and drill as deep as you can into something, right? There are other times when, in fact, you know, you need to breathe and look at these other things. I think it's a process that is not unimodal in a real sense. And as you say, so often our organizations want to pigeonhole us and say, this is what you are, and will not recognize your other professional activities. In the case of Anarita, you know, in your case, your scientific subject of decision-making is clearly, you know, at the root of so much questions about research, right? So how do you decide what to work on? What's relevant to your research? I imagine you're getting a lot of data for your research.
It's really interesting. Again, it's really interesting what you just said, because, I mean, I can. There is you go to the lab and you have the rat running around, which is the animal model that I work with, and the animal has to make different choices according to some criteria, and then at the end of the day, I go home, and then I have to decide whether I go walking or cycling or whether I go to the center of town or whether I should call someone to come and pick me up. And it seems like crystal clear mapping between the two. But then when you go and you think, okay, I'm going to do this project where I have an hypothesis, and I'm going to work with humans, which are a really challenging animal model. And then I'm going to
place... They talk back.